This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And good morning. Welcome to The Gardening Show. I'm Igor, and with me, as always, the Master Gardener, Bob Harris. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Igor.
We are on Facebook Live, so you can check that out, facebook.com/WESB1075. Phone lines are open as well. If you have a question for Bob, you can go ahead and call us up. We're live today, and I'll take it away, Bob. What's on your mind?
Okay. First thing on my mind is the tomato plant.
All right.
Everybody's probably got nice looking tomato plants right now.
Tell you, my neighbor had to restake them. He says they're drooping over because they're so big.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a good point. Because most tomato plants will just continue to grow around here. Now there are ones that are made for that, the indeterminate ones, and that's mostly the. Cherry tomatoes, small ones. They'll just grow until a frost hits them. But other tomatoes, the bigger ones, you know, you get 1-2 pound tomatoes off of, they have a terminate lifespan. So they're probably getting pretty close to they're going to stop growing. But some of the important things, because of the heat and humidity that we've had, there's probably going to be some mold and mildew and fungus on some of our plants. So it's a good idea to trim some of the leaves off your tomato plant so air can go right through your tomato plant so it dries out quickly, the foliage dries out quickly, so that mold and mildew doesn't have a chance to start growing. And also, it might be a good idea if you've got quite a few tomatoes already on, we call it the vine, then it might be a good idea to top your tomatoes, trim off that outer growth, especially any that doesn't have any blossoms on it, trim that off, because it's getting that time where if there isn't any blossoms and it's going to form some, it's probably not gonna be able to grow a tomato and ripen in time. So it's a good idea to get rid of those, and that will help make the rest of your tomatoes a little healthier, a little bit bigger, ripen a little quicker, because the plant it gives it a signal to stop growing for a while. So trimming some of those leaves off, that foliage. Again, that's so important.
Well, now, what do those leaves actually do? What's the benefit to having leaves on a tomato plant? I don't want to eat the leaves. I want to eat the tomato.
Well, that's what's gathering all the sunshine.
Oh, okay.
And making food for the rest of the plant.
They're like solar panels.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Get the energy that way.
That's right. But we want to make sure you got good air circulation. You're going to see that with a lot of your plants, not just the tomato, but squash and cucumbers, well known, to start getting that, we call it gray mold or powdery mildew on the plant. It's kind of a whitish, grayish substance that you'll see on top of the leaves. If you do see that, trim that leaf off and dispose of it. Don't just drop it in the garden. Because it can start to spread to the other leaves, and we don't want that. But also, even in your squash and cucumbers, sometimes it's a good idea to get in there and trim off some of the leaves so you have better air circulation going right through the plants. Because we get the leaves are going to get wet every night with our dew, and we want that to dry off as soon as the sun comes up. But if there's a lot of leaves on that plant, the air can't get in there to dry it up, and of course that gives that mold and mildew a chance to take hold and start growing.
Would like a little box fan aimed towards the plants help?
It does. Yep.
But it would dry it out though, wouldn't it?
Well, a little bit more. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, but most greenhouses do that. Have fans running all the time, not just to keep it cool in there, but because it's so humid in greenhouses, they have to have air circulation so the mold and mildew and can't take a foothold.
Because I was wondering about that, because in the last week I've been sitting out a lot, and boy, it's been humid and not a lot of breeze.
Yeah,
Have a box fan on there, like, maybe I can use this for plants if they're getting mold on right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Now, there's other ways, too.
Yeah.
There are fungicides that you can apply.
What do you recommend?
I highly recommend a copper-based fungicide if you're going to use that, or... I also highly recommend hydrogen peroxide that I talked about in the past, putting a little hydrogen peroxide in a spray bottle with water and spraying the leaves with that. That gives it that blast of oxygen and helps dry. I know you're adding water, but it helps dry out the leaves and stop that mold and mildew from starting to take effect. Some people like to use baking soda and water and spray it on their leaves. That also helps too. That changes the whole chemical makeup on the surface of the leaf. So again, that mold and mildew can't take a hold and start growing.
Great. Yeah. Thanks for the advice.
Now, there's I'm talking to a few people, you know, and they were saying, well, geez, there's no sense in taking care of that because it's in the ground. No, it's not really in the ground. It may be on the surface of the soil, and raindrops or your watering can hit the surface and it bounces up and gets on a leaf. But it's in the air. That's where it really comes from. And it's floating everywhere in the air. We just don't see it. So that's that, yeah.
Okay, great.
Take care of your vegetable garden that way.
Trim some leaves at least off of the tomato plants.
So you get good air circulation. That's so important. And then it also lets the sun get into the center of the plant where that's where that mold and mildew is going to start. Our lawns, a lot of our lawns are turning a little bit brown. Not to worry. This has always been an interesting point for me. You know, our maple and oak trees, they go dormant in the winter. Our lawns go dormant in midsummer because they are a cold season crop, really. They, as a matter of fact, the lawn will even grow a little bit through the winter. But come the heat of the summer, when it's like this, they'll stop growing, start to turn brown, and that's no big deal. That's just the way it's going to be. And as long as we have 6 weeks of that, it can recover. When it starts to cool off and we get a few of those fall rains, no big deal. But other things we can do, too, to help protect our lawn is to let it grow hot, taller. Mm. Start raising our mower up to 3-4 inches even. The taller grass is going to help to shade the ground, keep the ground cooler because the grass doesn't like warm soil. And it'll also conserve moisture so the grass can get a drink whenever it needs to. So it's a good idea to raise the mower. Now, if you've got a lot of weeds in your lawn, sometimes you can't do that because when you start to see those weeds flowering, you want to go out there and mow them off so they don't have a chance to start to make seed because that's going to mean more weeds in the future. So you have to make that judgment call. You know, do I let my lawn grow a little bit taller, start mowing it taller, or do I keep chopping off those flowering weeds so I don't make more weeds? Now,
you get on your hands and knees, then you pick them one by one. That's what.
Yeah. Like in my situation, I just have a few spots in the yard that get a lot of weeds that flower. So I just take my string trimmer out there or weed whacker, whatever you want to call it.
Weed eater, string trimmer.
Yeah.
All the same thing.
And start to just chop them off that way. I don't have to mow the whole lawn. Just a real quick pass with that. Because I don't want them going to seed and making more. And why do I say that? I know it's become very popular that we're supposed to let all that clover and dandelions and all that grow in our lawns to support the pollinators. And that's great. And that's and I agree with that. But it does come to a point where we get too many weeds. Of course, it's going to choke out the grass. Weeds are more aggressive than grass. And the weeds, especially if we're a flower or a vegetable gardener, the weeds can harbor diseases and pests that an insect can get on that weed. It'll start to get that disease or pest on it, goes to our vegetable or flower garden, and then that pest starts or disease starts to take hold in our vegetable and flower garden. So it's kind of a tough thing to decide, you know, do I take care of the weeds in my lawn or do I not worry about it, knowing that probably going to be some effect in my flower and vegetable garden.
Maybe you designate a corner of the lawn to be like the natural area or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Or at least nearby your vegetable garden. Try to keep that as weed-free as possible. Nearby your perennial garden, try to keep it weed-free. Let other parts go ahead and do their thing. So, yeah, it's a decision that everybody has to make by themselves. There's no right or wrong to it. You know, there is a lot of scientific study, and they all show that there's a happy medium in there. That, yeah, we got to support the pollinators, but we also have to protect other plants.
So let the grass grow a little taller this time of year,
yes.
Mid-July, late July. I know my grass is brown.
Oh, yeah, yeah, mine too. Although it drives me crazy because my neighbor's lawn is very green, and he cuts it very, very short.
So he gets away with it.
But I do remember when they were building that house that they brought in a lot of great topsoil.
Oh.
And that makes all the difference.
Okay.
So he has a real good base, so the grass is always green over there on the other side of the fence.
Yeah.
But the rest of us have brown lawns. A lot of our lawns are older, and they're on that clay and shale-based soil. So they struggle a little bit.
What about the people with the sprinklers help? Yes.
Quite a bit. They can help. I don't really suggest that though, you know, because we all have a lot of things to do, and one of them, for like me, I don't want to go out there and water my lawn.
Yeah.
Even if it just means
bigger fish to fry.
Yeah.
Other stuff to do.
And plus, there's really no need. The lawn will take care of itself. It will green up as soon as the weather cools off and the rains come again.
And let's be honest, your lawn's not going to be on the cover of any magazine, so let it go dormant like it's supposed to. It'll come back.
Which, you know, a golf course is different.
Yeah.
They make their money from green grass.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're going to water and fertilize a lot. But our home yards, no need to, really. Why put that pressure on yourself?
Right. Or the water supply.
Or the water supply, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, anything else you wanted to mention before we take a break and have our show and tell?
No, let's take a break.
Okay, and again, we are on Facebook Live, so check us out, facebook.com/WESB1075, and we'll be right back in 30 seconds, and we'll talk about what Bob brought into the studio, and we'll have some good information there, I'm sure. It's The Gardening Show, right here on B107.5 FM, brought to you by Worth W. Smith.
At Worth W. Smith Company, you'll find what you need when it comes to shovels, rakes, pruners, and all sorts of other gardening and landscaping tools. Why take the chance of getting splinters from old dried-up cracked handles or the frustration of fighting with the rusty chipped cutting edges on your loppers? Their staff is always eager to lend a helping hand with getting you what you need for the project ahead. Stop and see them today at any of their 6 locations in Bradford, Olean, Salamanca, Cuba, and Eldred. Remember, if you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company.
Welcome back to The Gardening Show right here on B107.5 FM. We were doing some adjusting here, getting the big shrub into the picture frame here because we are sharing video on Facebook Live. So you can join us there if you'd like. And you can also ask ask Bob a question through the comments section on Facebook Live as well. Or the phone lines are always open for you as well. So you can give us a call, 368-9372.
Okay, what I brought in today is an evergreen shrub, and it's one of the most popular shrubs. Besides, I told you about the hydrangea, so popular. And this one here is extremely popular, too. It's called Arborvitae. Arborvitae. Evergreen shrub, that means it's going to stay green all year round. It's made its popularity because of how thick it grows, and it blocks out your neighbors if you want to, or just gives you a lot of privacy, or even a windbreak. And so this is a great, great shrub to have for those purposes. It doesn't have a lot of needs. If you plant this in the fall, you basically water it in, and you can forget it for ever again. Now, if you're planting it during the summer, of course, you're going to have to go out there and water it once in a while. And I had mentioned some of the ways to tell if a plant needs water. Not only wilting, evergreens don't really wilt, so it's hard to tell when they're dry. So I highly recommend plant some annuals around or near that shrub. And when you see them wilt, then you're probably having to water that evergreen that you planted too. That's a good indicator plant of what's happening underground, because there's more happening underground than most of us think about. So plant those indicator plants, and it'll tell you when that plant needs water this year, and then you'll be able to take care of it very well. But Arborvitae, an evergreen.
Yeah, I love mine. You're right. It doesn't take much care at all. If I can keep something alive, you have something that's low maintenance.
That's another reason behind its popularity. It's one of them shrubs where anybody really can dig a hole and plant one and have success.
I put a soaker hose on mine because I have a whole row of them.
Like okay.
A line. So, just for the first year.
Yeah.
The first, couple, month or so.
Yeah. That's a great idea. I like to use soaker hoses too whenever I plant a massive amount of plants, and that's a good way to conserve water.
And I'll tell you, I don't know what it is about the human psyche or whatever. Just having that extra green in the backyard,
yeah,
for just that and a wall of privacy, and it just adds to so much enjoyment.
Love
them.
Yep,
I love them.
Yeah, I've read some studies. I don't remember them all, but there is something to that color of green.
It's calming.
I don't
know why it's, but it's
like it's like the waves of the ocean or
yeah.
Birds singing. It's those things that really calm us and are good for us. And for us guys that like the birds, they're great for bird nesting because there's a lot of cover. They're very thick. You can't see through the shrub. So birds can nest in there and be well protected from predators themselves.
So don't put them by your bedroom window because they're going to wake you up at 5 every morning, 4:30.
Yeah, but that's a good sound, isn't it?
Yeah, 2 in the afternoon.
which reminds me, speaking of birds, we've for the last few years, we've had a bird nesting on one of our spotlights in the backyard. And it builds a nest all out of moss. And it's going on its second brood this year.
Oh, wow.
Each time it's been three babies. They've succeeded. But it's if you've never had a chance to watch birds nest, it is fascinating. And you wonder, how do they keep up with it? Their babies are about ready to fledge, they call it, or get out of the nest. They're getting pretty well grown. But the parents, both the male and female, are just in a constant feeding frenzy. They're always bringing food to the nest. It's just amazing to me. How can they keep up such a pace for such a long period of time?
Yeah.
And well, you were saying, I remember once you said, you gave me a number, how many insects a bird eats
yeah.
a day.
Yeah.
Like, it's just incredible how busy they are.
Yes. Yes, it is. And by the way, those birds are called Phoebe. So when they sing, it sounds like they're saying Phoebe, Phoebe. So it's been real interesting and fun to watch. Another one. I hope I don't bore you.
No.
We get a lot of deer in our backyard. And over the years, I've become accepting of it. You know, they're going to chew on some plants. Most of my plants are older, so they just recover very well. But this year, we had two fawns and a mother. And I guess the mother got hit by a car. And a few weeks later, some other mother adopted these two fawns. And so
wow.
That's neat how nature works. And I get to watch them every day, sometimes two, three times a day, come into my backyard, eating my grass and trimming off the clover for me so I don't have to. And some of the plants they kind of enjoy. It's been interesting. On one side of the house, I went through a stage where I kind of really liked hostas, so I planted a lot of hostas. I probably have close to 20 on one side of the house. All different varieties. Every single one's a different variety. And it's been interesting to see which ones the deer eat and which ones they don't.
Oh.
And so I've been trying to keep track of it. And so I'll have better knowledge on suggesting what varieties that the deer will leave alone. And a couple varieties, that old-fashioned green and white one, you know, that everybody has, that multiplies quickly. That's the first one they went to. And I mean, they chewed it right to the ground. Now, it's not going to be dead. It'll recover later this year or even next year. You really, they say you can't kill a hosta. And that's true. You can't. So I let them feed on my hostas, knowing that I'm helping support them a little bit, kind of feeling like a parent, I guess. And knowing that that's not going to hurt my hosta, it will regrow with no trouble at all. So
now you mentioned the deer, and I know that this is a problem with what you brought in, these arborvitae.
Yes.
Deer like to eat the arborvitae.
Yes, they
and
do.
Sometimes you see that in the country. You drive around and you see a nice row
yeah.
of bushes, and then the whole bottom half is completely decimated.
Yeah.
And that's from the deer.
That's from the deer.
So yeah. How do you keep them away if you don't want to support the deer like you?
Okay.
We're not so fortunate, for, you know, you have umpteen thousand plants. Okay, I can sacrifice a couple to the
yeah.
deer. If we have our cherished plants, how do we keep them at bay?
There's a product called deer fencing. Or bird fencing. It's a nylon product. It kind of looks like fishing line. So once you put it out there on the shrubs, it's virtually invisible to see. But it's enough that the deer, as soon as they come up to that shrub and try to feed on it, they feel that nylon product. And that bothers them enough so that they stay away from that shrub.
Okay. So, because I was wondering about that, if, like, you know, you're going to have like a ugly fence around all of your beautiful arborvitae.
No,
it becomes invisible.
Yeah, it becomes invisible, and it lasts for decades.
Oh,
it does. Now you can put it up when the deer are feeding and take it down, or you can just leave it up, and you may have to move it a bit as the plant grows so it doesn't become embedded in the plant. But it's a very inexpensive and a great way to keep the deer off your shrub, especially if you planted a lot of arborvitae and you live near the woods.
We have a phone call.
Okay.
Hi, good morning. You're on the gardening show. Hi.
Yeah. Hi. I'd like to know what kind of water to put in the winter apple clippings.
What kind of water to put in? Okay. I know. I remember you now.
The wet kind, right?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, right out of your sink can work well. You know, if you can make distilled water even better and just change it every couple weeks to keep it clean, because no matter what kind of water you put in, it will get a little mold and mildew. So, yeah, that just any kind of water, really.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
All right, I guess you can't go wrong, but
yeah,
distilled is a little bit better?
Yeah, it's a little bit better, yeah. Okay. Yeah, which you can make your own distilled water. You fill up a jug and just set it outside for a week, and it's distilled water then.
Oh, wow.
All the chlorine and all that is dissipated out. But I'd really like to have this guy keep in touch with us to see how successful he is with this winter apple.
All right. Keep us informed. We'll talk to you next season.
Yeah. You might be doing a great thing.
Yeah. And if you have any other questions, please keep giving us a call.
Yes.
All right,
sir. Have a good one. Thanks for the call. All right.
Another thing I wanted to mention, you know, the goldenrod is starting to bloom. That does not cause allergies.
It doesn't?
No, it doesn't. That's a proven fact. The goldenrod pollen is extremely heavy compared to other pollen. So drops straight to the ground. It doesn't get into our nasal passages. So the goldenrod is not the reason you're sneezing and have itchy eyes. And it supports a lot of pollinators, the goldenrod.
Oh, okay.
Time of year to watch out for the wasp.
Uh-oh.
You may have to get a nice wasp spray. I like to always find those ones that you can spray up to 25 feet so I don't get close to that wasp nest. They're not great pollinators, not like our bees, so we can take care of them. The bees, leave them alone if you can.
Yeah, it is. I did notice a wasp nest on my house. I'm going to have to figure out how to get. Of course, it's as high as it could be under my gutter. And,
oh, yeah. You know, that's why I say that there are a couple sprays out there that are foaming, too, that can spray up to 25 feet. So that's a good distance for you to be able to spray and run.
Yeah. Probably at night, too, right?
Yeah, that's better.
They seem to be more sleepy.
Yeah, don't do that
night.
In the afternoon, no. Very early morning or late evening.
Any final thoughts on the show today, Bob?
No.
Well, I was going to say, we could maybe give you a couple more minutes, but we're almost out of time, unbelievably.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll be. I love how you brought this in, though. That emerald green arborvitae, those are just gorgeous. So
they certainly are.
If only I could afford 43 of them to put around my entire yard to wall off everything.
Yeah.
Because those are gorgeous. And those are the most dense kind, too,
they are.
From what I understand. So they absorb a lot of sound and,
yep.
of course, the
yep.
privacy wall. So, yeah. It's
good point. I didn't mention that, you know, the sound barrier, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. They can be great for that. So that you can hear the birds better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Overpower the traffic noise
yeah.
from the birdie chirpies. I love it. All right. We'll talk to you again next week, Bob. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
For coming in. That's The Gardening Show, sponsored by Worth W. Smith. And we will talk to you next week, 8:30, Saturday morning, right here on B107.5 FM. And always on demand, by the way, at WESB.com. We'll talk to you next week.